Every now and then I come across a story in the mainstream media about yet another research study that establishes that birds aren't as stupid as most people thought. In March, a study showed that individual chickadees differ in personality traits. Some are shy and some more outgoing. In July, a study revealed that chickadee vocalizations are complex. When chickadees scold or give warning calls about predators, they're fairly precisely identifying which predator is lurking about, and other chickadees, and apparently other species of birds, understand. I know some people are surprised to learn this, but it's hardly news to anyone who has spent time actually observing birds. I've been hand-feeding my chickadees for years, but it took only minutes to see that some chickadees are more suspicious of my hand than others. This past winter, one of the most assertive chickadees in my neighborhood flock, the one who'd light on my window, look me in the eye, and tap on the glass sharply as if to tell me to get crackin' whenever it wanted mealworms, was the chickadee most reluctant to actually alight on my hand. The tiny bird wasn't the least bit scared of me. When I brought out the mealworms, it would perch on a box elder branch within reach and wait for me to put my hand next to it. Sometimes I accidentally jostled the branch, and a few times I brushed my hand against its breast, but it never flew off. As I said, it wasn't scared of me. It apparently just didn't want its feet to light on naked skin. Some chickadees were skittish, some bold, some were greedy. One bird in particular would weigh the mealworms the way blue jays weigh peanuts and pick out the biggest ones. A couple of them would take the time to pick up and carry off two mealworms at once. No, it didn't take long at all to see how different these seemingly identical birds are and how they each have a mind worth reckoning with. We humans pride ourselves on our big vocabularies. My American Heritage Dictionary weighs in at 7.5 pounds, more than 360 chickadees put together. But just because we have more words, just because we can say onomatopoeia and mesmerizing and nuclear fission, doesn't mean we've got a monopoly on words. Anyone who spends time near a Minnesota lake quickly figures out what's going on with their pair of loons without even looking, based on the birds' calls. Crows, with complex social structures rather similar to our own, have hundreds of words, even if we haven't learned to translate most of them. Ravens manage to communicate clearly with wolves as well as other ravens. Bob Carey tells of them clearly and specifically alerting wolves to the presence of a deer carcass so that the wolves will tear open the hide for them. Our languages may be far more developed, but they're hardly the only languages on the planet. People who stare up at the heavens wondering where in the universe they could find other intelligent life might start by looking a bit closer to home. Back in March, when the study about chickadee individuality was released, the New York Times ran an editorial about it. They wrote, "Humans do not like to think of themselves as animals, nor do they like to think that their behavior may have genetic or evolutionary roots. But the richer perspective, morally and intellectually, lies in examining and coming to terms with the kinship of all life. There's a certain tragic isolation in believing that humans stand apart in every way from the creatures that surround them, that the rest of creation was shaped exclusively for our use. The real fruit of that perspective is, in fact, tragic isolation on an earth that has been eroded by our moral assumptions. Science has something much wiser to tell us about who we are. So do the birds around us." That was the New York Times. Production of For the Birds is supported by KUMD and binoculars.com. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.